It was a good gift last night to pray and have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament as, you know, take a little pause from all election madness and everything else, and just to gather around our Lord, right? To praise and worship him and to be with him. And it's always a gift when you're with the Lord. Jesus comes through. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So something else was added unto Jesus. Not that he needs more, but one of the funniest things I've seen in this chapel. So let me set the stage. It's set like this, like the Lord is present on the altar, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and David, Casey, and Deidre, who you know, are leading like a gentle, peaceful, meditative hymn. Right? And into the midst of that, beautiful, peaceful, kind of the Lord drawing us to himself. He didn't just draw us to himself, right? Into the midst of this chapel, strode with great confidence our watchman in the night, our masked avenger, our not-so-silent sentinel. He wasn't silent, really, at all. It was our Securitas officer who was doing his nightly rounds, and normally we're not in here Tuesday night. And so if you see on that door, you can kind of see it. There's a little white spot, and he has to hold his phone up to it, and that's part of his rounds. There's another one on the front entrance to the chapel. And this guy came walking in. It was so funny. He had like 7,000 keys. He silenced not one of them, right? I mean, there's 80 people in here, like, and the Lord is present. There's clearly something going on. Candles are lit, songs being sung, and he just marches right in. I mean, marches right up that aisle, not pausing for a second, right? Like this. And he's got his keys, and he marches along, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy is hilarious. And all I could think of, I almost started laughing out loud, like, I thought of the Lord just like, yep, that's one of mine too. He's one of mine too. And I thought of his guardian angel, looking at all the other guardian angels of all the people who are praying. And it was like, yeah, I mean, I got assigned to him, okay? Like I didn't have a choice, right? And so, I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know his name. I've never talked to him. I don't know if he's religious, not religious, whatever. I don't know anything about the guy. So anyway, I'm just making some of these leaps in my own head. But I'll tell you what I liked. This is what I liked. And I actually kind of prayed about it this morning. He was single-hearted. He had one thing he was going to do, and he was going to do it. And it didn't matter if other people were like wondering why he was doing that one thing. And there's a lot to be said in the spiritual life for that. To be single-hearted and to not care what other people think. Now, we got to shoot for something better than just scanning your phone against the door, right? But to be single-hearted and to not care what other people think. That's a great thing for us. And actually a welcome relief from this political madness we've been in. Some, not all, but some politicians are anything but single-hearted. And all they do is care what other people think. And it's really nice not to live that way. And we don't have to live that way. We can be about one thing. Following Jesus. With all our heart. With all our mind, with all our strength, all that we are, we can pursue him. And if we're confident enough not to care what other people think, then great things can happen. See, Jesus, actually, he's the great anti-politician, at least modern politics. The gospel tonight's perfect for us coming off an election. Jesus has great crowds traveling with him. Oh, we must be doing really well, whoever his campaign manager is. Oh my gosh, we haven't flipped this district in years. This could go Galilean on us, right? And Jesus looks and he sees these great crowds following him. And then he says, because he's not a politician, he's not pandering to people. He's not telling them what they want to hear, he's telling them what they need to hear. And he's the same way with us. He doesn't pander to us. He speaks real truth, right? He's not a pragmatist like politicians are. He's principled, and he wants to speak the truth. And so he turns to the crowd, and he says to them, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he can't be my disciple. I mean, people would have been like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, I'm serious, because then he doubles down. You got to carry your cross and come after me. And then he doubles down yet again, triples down. And he says, every one of you does not renounce all his possessions, can't be my disciple. Because he's not pandering. He's not telling people what he thinks they want to hear so they'd be attracted to him. He's telling them what they need to hear so that they could actually be free. Free to follow him. And Jesus is absolutely insistent. Nothing and no one before him. Nothing and no one. Not even good relationships. Father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and not even our own lives come before God. And that's the mistake that we make. We put things before God that are not God. And in doing that, we cease to be free. I think about that in these days. I was thinking, politicians, not all, but many, are among the least free people around. Why? Because to gain power, they have to be popular. So power in and of itself is dangerous, and to get it by being popular is like doubly dangerous. So you're enslaved. So you have to take stances just because your party says that, or because the base of the party says that. Even if you might not believe it, you're not free. I was like, man, I got to pray more for them, because it's actually spiritually incredibly dangerous to make your life about power based off popularity. Ooh. But Jesus gives us a great way forward from that. He's like, don't put anyone before me. Nothing. No one before me. Renounce it all so that you can have me at the center. And then the beautiful thing is this. Do you think Jesus really wants us to hate our father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even our own lives? Do you think he wants that? Like you should call your parents after Mass and be like, yeah, I went to Mass. I hate you. What? Yeah, Jesus told us that. No, he doesn't mean that. He's using strong language to get our attention, to make us pay attention to him and be like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'm serious. No one before me. Because only when I'm at the center can you love even the good people in your life rightly. Your father, your mother, your children, sister, brother. But also for you, your own life. If you put Jesus at the center, you'll love your life and you'll know what to do with it. If you don't have him at the center, your life becomes full of burden and anxiety. What should I do? What if I miss my moment? What if I make a mistake? Who am I going to be? What's going to be held in the future? And all of that can happen to us. And Jesus wants us to avoid that. He wants us to be free. And it's a paradox that the key to freedom, the key to being yourself, is to renounce yourself, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow Jesus. But it is absolutely the truth. It is absolutely the truth. You lay your life down. You say, Jesus, my life is a gift. I give it to you. Jesus, nothing before you. Not my major and not my friends. Not even my family. And certainly not my own concern for myself. nothing before you. I give it all to you. I give all of my heart to you. And in that renunciation, which seems like a loss of freedom, real freedom is found. When you lose yourself, you find yourself. When you give yourself away, you discover who you really are. When you make your life a gift, the gift of your life is given back to you. And that's the key. That's the way to live in this life. When we hear all this stuff about how to gain power and popularity and all this stuff, the political realm, which has become in so many ways our American culture's God, and it's really sad to see. What a gift to have this gospel come to us. To say, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to play that game. Follow the Lord. Give your heart to him. Give everything. All of you. Make it a gift to him. And then great freedom and great joy. Single-hearted. Not needing to care what other people think. Because you're so drawn by the one who loves you and knows you best. That's the way to live. And that's what we should be about. Today is Founders Day for Carroll College. What would St. Charles Borromeo say? Exactly that. Give everything to the Lord. Don't hold anything back. Because he's never outdone in generosity. And he knows better than you what will fill your heart. Let's be founded on that truth. We give our lives to Jesus tonight, and then tomorrow we do the same thing, and then the next day the same thing, and the whole of our life becomes a gift. Nothing then can separate us. Be generous. Give, and the gifts will come back to you. Give everything to Jesus, and he'll give all of himself to you. There's no better way to live.